Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Faces Gallery, 406, 407 in the afternoon. I have a real treat for you this afternoon. I have one young man, Marcus Scurry, here with us today. He is the founder and chief executive officer of Realizing Our Dreams. Marcus, can I just talk to you about some of the dreams I have, and maybe you could help me realize them?
That is fine. I'll help you out as much as I can.
All right. There you go. Well, see, I'm on my way now, folks. No, Marcus, you work with underprivileged, at-risk young people, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
And that was just being a little facetious on my part. But I still do have a few dreams I'd like to realize before it's all over with. But congratulations for starting this organization.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Now, Marcus, you grew up here in Greenwood?
Yes, ma'am. Yes and no. I am originally from Philadelphia, and when I was very young, my parents separated and then later divorced, and we all hate that word. And so I stayed in Philly for a while with my mom, and then sometime after that, my dad obtained permanent custody of my sister and I, and so we moved here.
Well, that should have been a shock.
It was.
Philadelphia to Greenwood, South Carolina.
A big culture shock. I'm still dealing with it.
No, how old were you when you came here, though, roughly?
When I came here on a full-time basis, I think I was 12.
12. Ooh, yes, that was a tough time to come, too, wasn't it?
Yes, ma'am. That's that whole transition period. You're still smelling yourself. You're becoming a man and heading towards, teenage years. So that's a very difficult time to come.
But I guess you thrived here because you graduated from high school here, Greenwood High, and you went on to college.
Yes, ma'am.
And where'd you go to college?
I graduated from Johnson C. Smith University in Charlotte.
In Charlotte. And what did you want to be as you were growing up here, getting ready to take on the world?
I remember being in elementary school. I wanted to be a principal. I love school, so I always said, I love kids. So I said, I'll become a principal. Then I wanted to become a dentist, and then I wanted to become a lawyer. And then when I was in college, because I was a business major, I wanted to work in corporate America. I just love numbers, and I love my internships in the summer. But slowly but surely, a year after graduation, I realized that corporate America just wasn't for me.
Well, corporate America has definitely gone through a change, and particularly you told me you were interested in the banking end of corporate America.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
That had to be tough. So what did you, how did you get to working for a nonprofit? And today you work for Community Initiatives, which does so many wonderful things here in Greenwood. Kind of an unsung hero, I guess we should say, of Greenwood. They do a lot of stuff that goes right beneath the radar, but helps a lot of people.
Yes, yes. It's funny. I was working. I was a banker at the Vanguard Group, this huge mutual fund company in Charlotte. And I loved the job. The pay was wonderful. The benefits were wonderful. But I wasn't fulfilled. And I had been there about a year. And I realized that it just wasn't enough. I said, surely there has to be more to life than this. And so one of my friends had just opened a nonprofit organization that was called Project Home in downtown Charlotte. And she encouraged me to come and maybe just help her out, 2 days a week, on the weekends. And so I started coming. And about 6 months, she said, I think I want to offer you a job. You've just been a tremendous help to me. And so I was like, cool. And I ended up leaving the Vanguard Group and started.
Now, what did your parents think about you leaving the Vanguard Group? Oh, they were real pleased with this move, weren't they?
My parents thought I was crazy. They thought I had a nervous breakdown.
I was going to say, I can just be a parent thinking about you're going to do what? Yes.
They were thinking about, how are you going to pay off your student loans? What are you doing? You're going to be homeless. You're going to be poor. And it's funny, but we had to have that talk. And I think that's when I became an adult, when I had the talk with my parents that I had to pursue my purpose and my passion. And of course, they still to this day don't really understand all that. But I loved it. When my first day at Project Home as a full-time employee, it was wonderful, and I knew that I had found my niche. And it's funny how I received an epiphany. That one decision to work there started me on my nonprofit route. Later came Community Initiatives and Lutheran Children and Family Service, Carson Valley Children's Aid, and then who knew that I would start my own organization? So I'm thankful for having that experience because it opened so many doors for me.
Absolutely. So, when did you start your organization Realizing Our Dream?
I started that 7 years ago. I was living in the city of Philadelphia,
In
Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia, yeah. So you went back to Philly.
Yes, ma'am. Went back to Philadelphia. My mom is there, and her side of the family, and so my mom is ill, and she's battled mental illness for quite some time, and so I just made a decision that I want to spend more time with her, and so I just stepped out on faith. I left my just left my job in Charlotte, and left some wonderful friends, and decided to move back to Philly, and I did that, and I was there for a while, and I got blessed with two wonderful career opportunities, one with Lutheran Children and Family Service, and the other one with Carson Valley Children's Aid, and while I was with at Lutheran, that's when I decided to start Realizing Our Dreams. I started working with some kids that were enrolled in a truancy prevention program. And the kids basically were just not coming to school. And the school district had basically, gave up on them. They were going to SR22 the parents, and the parents would have to pay these hefty fines. And so my supervisor at the time decided that we could develop a truancy prevention curriculum and, incorporate some basic case management methods with our program. And so that's what we did. And we would meet with these kids on every Saturday and just talk to them, find out what's going on at home. We would also meet with the parents, and we would refer the parents to any resources in the community. And from that, I started my organization because the kids told me that they were just bored. They were looking for something to do, and no one in the traditional school setting, talk to them or embrace them. And the teachers often ignored them because they were the low performing students in the class. And so I helped organize and plan teen talent shows and teen poetry slams and fashion shows. And I realized that the kids were very creative and they had a lot of talent, and they just needed a way to, I needed an outlet.
Well, that sounds great. Now, from that, I guess you started your nonprofit organization, Realizing Our Dreams.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So then how did you get from up there in Philly to coming down here to Greenwood?
Okay, so I stayed in Philly for a while, and then I received a job offer in the big city of Atlanta, Georgia. And so I moved to Atlanta and lived in Atlanta for 3 years, and then I got laid off. The economy in Georgia is a totally different situation right now, and so I was laid off, and then I was at a crossroads. I could either go back to Philadelphia or I could do something else. And at that time, my dad became ill with a heart situation, and so my sister and I decided that we sort of need to be closer to dad. So I came back to Greenwood, and it was only supposed to be 3 to 4 months, and I've been,
Yeah,
it's 2.5 years.
Greenwood is kind of a quagmire. Once you get here, it's hard to leave, isn't
Oh,
it?
yes, it is.
All right. Hey, we are here with Marcus Scurry. He is the founder and chief executive officer of Realizing Our Dreams Incorporated. We're going to be talking more about it, what it's doing today, and of course, what he does over there at Community Initiative. So don't you go away. Stay right with us. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, I was just telling Marcus that, yes, we are streaming all across this nation here at WCRS 1450AM.net. So anybody want to tune in and they're not right here in our area, you certainly can do that. And, of course, that's a good thing. Lots of people do tune in from all over. So, Marcus, you came here to Greenwood, and did you come with a job, or you just kind of came hooked up with community initiatives and this job kind of came together?
That's exactly how it happened. I didn't have anything. I just planned to be here for a very short period of time, 3 to 6 months. And so didn't have a job. you know, I stayed with my parents at the time, and you can imagine what that was like, being an adult staying with your parents.
And you did give up that job at Vanguard.
Yes.
And you know, that still had to be on their mind.
Of course. They still thinking I'm probably crazy. I've lost my mind at this point. And I was volunteering. I began volunteering at the local food bank with Barbara Turnberg. And that forged into a wonderful friendship. And she said, oh, I wish I could hire you. I wish I could hire you. And then I just happened one day, I was there, and I met Mary Frances Thompson. Mm-hmm. And at that time, she was employed at Community Initiatives. And life came full circle after that. She gave me her business card. We had a meeting, and then I met with Beth Bethel. And when I met with Beth Bethel, I met with her. The purpose of the meeting was for me to begin volunteering in their after-school program. Well, she hired me.
Beth doesn't waste time when she sees a good person.
No, Beth wastes no time when she sees a good person. She said, do you have a resume? I said, yes. And so she took it and she said, you're hired. I had this position I've created. You're the person for the job. And I remember I had on cargo shorts and a polo. So I totally wasn't dressed for an interview. And the rest is history. You know, since that time, I've been at Community Initiatives. I'm the current Safe Haven coordinator. And I love
what does that mean?
Safe Haven coordinator. What does that mean? Safe Haven. We create a safe place for the kids in the Matthews Mill Village neighborhood. And not only the kids, but the families and the neighborhood residents. And it's important that they know that they had, after school, they know that they have a safe place to go where there are some caring adults there to just embrace them and help them with their homework or counseling. We do teen summits for at-risk teenagers. We work with parents. We do so many wonderful things. I can't even explain. We also have a free clinic that's open 4 days a week. And we're all about community. You know,
and because you know that clinic started with one day a week, one night, and now they've expanded to four. They started actually in New Haven Apartments,
yes, ma'am,
and then moved to the house over in the Mill Village,
yes, ma'am.
And you know, a lot of credit needs to be given to Ann Crowley, Beth Bethel, for having a dream, having a vision, and acting on it. And it's not easy to do that, particularly in a smaller community such as Greenwood.
It is. It is. And I always say that. I always say that in life you meet who you're supposed to meet. And I didn't know it, you know, but I have so much respect and admiration for, you know, Elizabeth Bethel and Ann Crowley because, you know, I was sitting on Realizing Our Dreams. I had came back to Greenwood. I just didn't think that Greenwood would embrace my organization. And so I sat on it for a while, 6 months, and just working with them and seeing how, you know, this organization, this wonderful organization that does a lot of good in the community, came from, you know, just something that was on paper to the New Haven apartment community, and now the
sitting on the back porch. Yes.
I think exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I can't sit anymore. You know, I can't sit. And so I slowly but surely began to say, okay, it's time for me to put Realize My Dreams out on the map. And Greenwood has really been supportive. I must say, Greenwood has been very supportive and embraced my organization and all the good things that we're doing right now. So I feel like life came full circle when I became employed at Community Initiatives and met Beth Bethel and Ann Crowley. I couldn't speak highly enough of good things about them. They're just wonderful women, two iconic women to know.
Absolutely. And of course, now Beth has gone into retirement. Hard to believe that she has actually done this, but I understand that she's enjoying golf and having a good time out there.
Yes, she is. And she also has a blog that's chronicling the lives of these golf women, you know, that play golf, you know, every day. So I still follow her. We're good friends. So I remain in contact with her via Facebook and her blog.
that's terrific. She's written some very good books out there too.
Yes, she has.
Absolutely. So good to know that Beth finally escaped from her organization, that she was able to get the right people in the right places to make this happen.
Yes.
So you started Realizing Our Dreams here in Greenwood. And where exactly how did you start putting it together?
That's funny. I just, you know, through Community Initiatives, I was able to meet a lot of people and join different organizations. I just started networking. And I knew the very first thing that I wanted to do was work with at-risk children. and their families. And so
we don't have at-risk children here in Greenwood, do we? Oh my gosh. I mean,
yes, unfortunately, there are a lot of at-risk children and families in Greenwood. But so I started a life class series. It was called Live Your Best Life Now. And different life coaches would come, and we would have like empowerment sessions. It was similar to a Bible study, and we would just motivate people and encourage people, and people would have to create a vision board, and we would give out homework assignments, and everybody that participated in the class had to bring their homework assignment to the next class, the next session, and it was amazing. And then from that, I started my scholarship fund for high-achieving minority males, and then that led into voter registration drives and me starting my middle school mentoring program. And I sponsored last year for back to school, I sponsored 13 kids, and they received free haircuts and hairstyles for our first annual community cuts drive. So, you know, doors just continued to open. Once people just heard about all the wonderful programs and services that were being offered, they just connected. And Facebook has been a huge blessing, you know.
So what are you on Facebook?
Yes, ma'am.
Is Realizing Our Dreams?
I have two pages. I have a Realizing Our Dreams page, and then I have my personal page, which is Marcus Scurry.
Okay. So people can find out all about it, I guess, on Facebook. Now, do you have a website, too?
No, ma'am. I don't have a website. You know, a website can be a little costly. Mm-hmm. So I have really...
Well, you may not need one with Facebook.
I'm thinking with Facebook and Twitter, I may not need a website. You know, eventually, you know, perhaps. But right now, social media, it works. And it's working for Realizing My Dreams. So I think I'm just going to stick with Facebook and Twitter.
Now, what is the eventual dream? What is the dream of Realizing Our Dreams as far as you're concerned?
I want Realizing Our Dreams to become a household name. And I want to start a motivational speaking tour where we go city to city, state to state, just to encourage people and empower people. Because there are a lot of broken people out there that just need some extra push or extra support or extra encouragement. And then I think that it's important that everybody that's breathing, that's walking this earth, realizes their full potential, what it is that they were created to do. And I think I received that when I was in college, you know, but then I still decided to go into the corporate America world. But then it came back to me when I started with a nonprofit organization. So I think that it's important that everybody realize their full potential. And that's my hope. My hope is that through my organization, people can live healthy, successful, productive lives and realize their full potential, whatever it is, because everybody has a dream, and it's important that we pull out of them what it is so they
can
be successful.
You're not borrowing that from Martin Luther King.
And I'm not borrowing that from Martin Luther King. Ed keeps telling me I'm borrowing this from Martin Luther King. I'm not borrowing this from Martin Luther King.
I do admire him.
I would give him credit if that's the case.
Yeah, okay. But Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream. Yeah, that was what it was all about, wasn't it? And that's actually where it all started, didn't it? Yeah,
yes, it did.
Exactly. Yes, it did. So as we move forward here, when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the events, some of the things that Marcus has going on. He's having a Bowl for Charity fundraiser on June 8th. That's right. Bowling. Okay. And then he's having a mother-son prom, and that should be very interesting at the Monsanto Gym, the United Way building. That'll be coming up on July 13th, and I'm sure he's got a lot more that he's talking about and working on. He's had some good successes in the last year or so with raising money and also helping kids. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk a little bit about communication and maybe some of the breakdown of the family, which is why we need some organizations like this. Marcus has some ideas on that too, and so do I. So it should be an interesting conversation as we talk about this. So, Marcus, how is this being on the radio?
Oh, I love it. I'm nervous. I'm shaking in my pants, but it's so much fun.
You're doing great. You're doing really great. You had a Saving Our Boys scholarship showcase back on April 28th.
Yes, ma'am.
What can you tell us about that? We've got the news coming up here in about a minute. What can you tell us in about a minute?
It was wonderful. It was a blessed event. It really was. And I don't say that lightly. There was standing room only. And I worried because it was on a Sunday, and Sunday evening, I said, oh, people won't come out. We ran out of chairs. And I was able to bless one of the guys, Justin Ryan, with a scholarship to Claflin University. It was wonderful. There was entertainment, spoken word, poetry. I had mime dancers, the Brewer Middle School step team performed. I had inspirational messages from different people. And the speaker, the keynote speaker, was 17-year-old Tyrese Bussey from Greenville, South Carolina. And he rocked the house. It was an amazing, amazing, amazing program. It was so much fun. It was a lot of work, but it was so much fun. And then in the end, it was just, it was a blessing.
So there you go. Hey, we're going to talk more here with Marcus Curry. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. News is up. We'll be back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
All right. I'm here with Marcus Scurry. We're already talking about his bucket list. God almighty, we haven't even gotten all the way grown up here, I don't think. But you already got a bucket list. God, I'm still trying to figure out what my bucket list is. But Marcus, you know, we were just talking about how you went to Belize and you had the opportunity to see kids that were just totally engaged with the idea of learning. You were telling me that the teacher was like a celebrity over there.
Yes.
And you look at here in America, and we don't seem to see that.
And I don't know if it's because we come from a privileged society, or at least we think we're privileged, you know, where we have resources readily available to us. And sometimes we tend to take things for granted, and especially the younger generation. You know, they have access to everything. And so that means they don't really appreciate things as they should. And so my experience in Belize, it just totally just heightened my awareness. And I said, I have to give back. You know, it just made me more aware. And I said that I think once you go to college and everything is wonderful, it's a great idea, you know, to make a decision to further your education. But it's funny how college raises you. It really makes you, creates you into a man or a woman. And so that experience, just seeing how engaged those kids, those Belizean children were in the learning process and how they worshiped their teacher. And they loved their school, and their school was very small.
You said the books were falling
the
apart.
The books were falling apart, and, you know, the chalkboard was cracked, and they needed more chalk, and they didn't have a lot of paper for the kids, but the kids were so engaged in the learning process over there. And I said, I have to, you know, give back, and I would love to, you know, start a school over there as my way of giving back. And that was some, you know, 10 years ago.
And it's still on your mind.
And it's still on my mind. I think about it often.
So what are we going to do about, what is, since you work with at-risk children all the time, what do you think is happening to the family unit? I mean, we just, you know, it seems like it's just being pulled apart. What do you think?
It is. It really is. And I think that the traditional family unit as we know it no longer exists. A lot of times, you know, I think about
when
I was...
Is that a bad thing?
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think family becomes friends, it becomes the streets, it becomes sometimes these bad influences, because a lot of times there aren't two parents in the household, and then a lot of times mom and dad are very young parents, and then sometimes you've been raised by, you know, another relative, you know,
that's a grandparent,
grandparent, or, you know, an aunt or uncle. And, you know, so the traditional family structure with two parents and the kids is sort of becoming obsolete. So
I don't like to hear that word, obsolete.
I think that's
really sad for our kids for the future. And it means that we're going to have to find a whole new way to navigate raising children.
We are. And really, I think it's time. I think ever so often we have to look at what's the status quo and how we can change that. And then not only that, how we can bring different things into play. You know, people say, like, you know, things change but things remain the same. But at the same time, things do change. And then when things change, our way of thinking, our way of problem solving has to change as well. And so my parents grew up in a time where there were two parents, and they couldn't imagine, you know, being raised by one parent. But then I look at myself, a lot of my friends came from single families. And so now there are even more single families. And so it's become like the norm. And so these children are dealing with so many different things. And then technology comes, and now everybody would prefer to Facebook or tweet, you know, family members than call.
What about the communication aspect of the family?
And that has totally changed. You know, families really aren't really sitting down at the table anymore to eat dinner because everybody's so self-absorbed in their own world, their own reality. And then,
don't you think that's a problem, that everybody is so self-absorbed that we've forgotten about caring about each other?
I think so. I really think it's very sad. And I think that a lot of the crime, a lot of these killings is because the value of human life just doesn't exist anymore. You know, people.
Well,
just,
in video games, games. Once you kill somebody, they stand right back up and you start over again, don't you? I mean, do they really die? No.
That's true. So a lot has changed, you know, and it's really unfortunate because a lot of the kids, they're suffering because of it. But that's why we have to have community support systems in place and people. And it may mean that people that, you know, like a neighbor may have to take on a family. And even though I'm not raising these kids, I have to look after these kids and make sure that they have the best life possible. And I think that's what we're going to have to get back to. Even churches, I think the church is really going to have to, you know, roll up their sleeves and step up to the plate. And even the school system, you know, because, you know, time.
But are we going to raise kids that are going to be self-sufficient and capable of getting a job and being independent? You know, we have so many people on food stamps now, so many on welfare. And you hear the stories of young women having children and having more children so that they can stay on welfare. Where is all this going to lead to? Are we going to be able to bring this back around to a self-sufficient society?
I think so, but we have to have the proper systems in place. We have to really evaluate the welfare system. And it was created years ago to be a short-term relief system.
Exactly.
And we've gotten away from that. We're not holding people accountable. And so if we connect them to, you know, job assistance or, you know, schools or whatever that can, you know, we have to find out why they need the assistance and then create a plan of care that will connect them to the necessary resource in the community. And until we really hold people accountable, then we're going to constantly have people that, you know, are born in poverty and then they die in poverty.
And they use the system and they abuse the system.
That happens so often. And then with our kids, we're going to really have to make sure that we have the proper support systems in place in the school, at home, and in the community, because it still takes a village. So it's going to take all three of these different, you know, categories working together to raise healthy and happy and productive kids. And until we get to that part, we're going to see... it's going to reflect in our economy, in our school system, in our homes, and this is going to be very tragic.
Well, the biggest thing I think we need, folks, is more taxpayers. That's the only way I see out of this, is that we have more taxpayers. And, yeah, you know, we have to cut back on some of these services. And you're right, the services were intended for short-term, not long-term. Mm-hmm. And we have to do something to get our people back working, all people back working.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
So another subject we were talking about was texting and our inability to communicate. Now, since you work with young people, do you think that young people are having a problem communicating, you know, putting down the cell phone, the tablet, and having a real conversation?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We could do a workshop on this. And I myself, I must admit, I am a texter. I'm a huge texter, and I love my smartphone. So I have to admit, I'm guilty as well. But at the same time, there's a time and place for everything. And I'm learning slowly but surely that sometimes you have to power the phone off and, you know, just...
Do you run any of your meetings with just texting, or do you talk one-on-one?
Oh, no.
So you have learned to do that.
I have learned to talk one-on-one. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's so important in today's world, the art of communication. And so many people, rather than having a... I'll use the word a disagreement, you know.
Yes.
They don't want to problem solve. They just want to use that text, and this is my opinion, and I'm out of here. Take it or leave it.
Oh, my gosh. It's horrible. Even in email, a lot of times you can read an email, and the tone and the message is totally different. You take something from it, and it's like the person say, well, no, that's not what I meant. You know, we have to get aside from that. You know, we have to find a way. You know, my grandfather always says, put that phone down, please. He used to say that all the time. Please put that cell phone down. And so we really have to get to that, because it's hurting our kids. Our kids are graduating from high school and they can't hold a decent conversation because they rely on their phone to do the talking for them. You know, and it's sad.
And the other thing is, I think we're creating a totally different language out there. Yeah. You know, our language is changing very rapidly. Language changes, but it seems like it is changing more rapidly than probably we've ever seen it because of texting and cell phones, etc.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, am I right? Am I right?
I think you're right. Yeah. I agree with that.
All right. The English language as we know it is changing. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I am here with Marcus Scurry. He is the founder and chief executive officer for Realizing Our Dreams. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the events upcoming, how he sees how he can help put this together and how it's working. So don't you go away. If you've got a question for Marcus, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Everyone knows Sharp Facets Gallery only carries the finest in jewelry. But did you know we offer the three R's? Repairs, replacement, and restoration. Repairs from sizing to stone replacement. Restoration of your treasured pieces to their former beauty. Or revamping or restyling by resetting your stones in new mountings. All repairs are done by our master goldsmith, Richard. Only Sharp Facets Gallery can provide you with both quick turnaround and professional, reliable service. Come see us at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass or call 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We're realizing our dreams right here. I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Marcus Scurry, and we're talking all about it. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about is what's happening in the family unit, but not only that, what's happening, and I think you kind of alluded to it when you were in Philadelphia working with the kids up there when you started Realizing Your Dreams, is that we got a lot of kids in school that are bored.
Yes.
And children learn different today than they did even 5 or 6 years ago, I think. We do have some schools that address this issue by having advanced programs and having help for those that need help. But in between, there's a lot of kids that can fall through the cracks.
Yes, ma'am.
So what do we do about this, Marcus?
We really have to have policies in place that where we evaluate the traditional class structure. And what I mean by that is we have to, and I'm not saying this is happening in every school or even in District 50. I'm not saying that, but in a lot of school systems where the high-achieving kids continue to achieve high grades and they receive all the attention from the teacher, and the low-performing students sit in the back of the room and they're often ignored, which leads to those students acting out, those students becoming truant, not coming to school, dropping out, all of that. So we have to look at the traditional school system and embrace everybody in the learning process. It may mean that we use pizza to educate the kids about multiplication and division or something. You know, we have to
Oh, my God, we can't have pizza in schools anymore. I mean, you know Michelle Obama would be down on you like a... She would be all over this. Gracie, yeah.
I hope she's not listening to this radio podcast.
But I'm serious, you know, we can't have that good stuff in food anymore now, Marcus. You know that.
I'm all for healthy eating, but we also have to keep the educational environment fun and creative, because there are some students that's how they learn. And we have to constantly be changing the way that we teach, you know. And so I remember I learned how to multiply and divide with pizza from Pizza Hut, and it works, and it stayed with me all these years. And so that's the thing. We can't ignore those kids that are low performing or that are acting out, because a lot of times when kids are in crisis, that's what they do. They don't know how to communicate, so they internalize everything and they drop out, they fall asleep in class, they act out, they become the class clown. So we can't ignore those kids because we don't want any of our kids to drop out of high school. That's a tragedy.
Well, should we try to put all kids in one class, or should we divide them up? I mean,
I think we need to divide them up.
I think that was something actually that we had years ago.
Yes.
And they got special attention if they needed the special attention, but it also didn't make those that were moving ahead fast, it didn't slow them down. Is that making sense?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So I think we need to go back to that system, you know, divide the classes up, because the teacher is often overwhelmed as well, trying to teach 30 or 35 students. You know, we only have one teacher and maybe a classroom assistant. So I think it would be a win-win for both parties involved if we go back to divide the classes up and then creating a curriculum that embraces everybody's learning style, so that everybody can be on grade level and on target and graduate from high school.
Mick Zeiss, who is superintendent of schools for the state, he has said that third grade is the cutoff on learning to read, and we've got to have these kids on grade level mm-hmm. to move forward. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm not a consultant or a.
But from working with kids, what do you think? Do you think that reading is the key that's going to make it so they can move forward in life?
I think so. I definitely think so. And so so it's important that the kids are exposed to reading at a very early age, even when they're still inside the mom's womb. I think that's very important. And then we have to make books readily available to the kids. A lot of the kids don't have the means to get to the nearest public library. So maybe having the bookmobile go to neighborhoods and allow the kids to check out books. Mm-hmm. But we definitely have to make reading a necessity, and we have to have reading materials accessible to everybody. I think that's key.
So with realizing our dreams, we've talked all about education. We've talked about the social economic situation that we have going. How does realizing our dreams fit, make the key that makes this work? Unlock it.
Well, right now we have Realizing Our Dreams. We have a Real Men Mentor, and that's our middle school mentoring program, because studies show that a lot of times middle school is when you lose a lot of kids. And so we have a mentoring program that meets once a month on Saturdays from 12 to 2, and we expose those boys to different outlets. We've had an etiquette workshop at T.W. Boone's where they actually...
Etiquette? Oh, my God.
Yes, the boys participated in etiquette, and they learned how, the different, the role of silverware and how to, properly address a table, and all about fine dining. And it was important because they had never experienced that type of thing before.
And how'd they do with it?
And it was wonderful. And I have pictures on Facebook, and I realized our dreams Facebook page, so you can see, but it was wonderful. The boys learned a lot. It was a lot of fun. And I'm all about exposing those boys to, different positive influences in the community so that they can, become successful and not make, bad decisions or bad choices. And then we also have the Marcus Scurry Minority Male Scholarship Fund, where I help raise money for high achieving minority males. When they graduate from high school, they'll have access to a scholarship, and they can use their first year in college. And then that's a part of my college mentoring program. And then we have the Life Class series that will be starting up again in a month or two. That's just open to any and everybody that just need a boost and, trying to figure out who they are and what they were born to do. And then we are constantly doing things in the community, constantly adopting needy families, feeding the hungry. We participate in the Salvation Army Angel Tree program, where we adopt a needy kids for Christmas. And in August, I'll do the Community Cuts Drive again, where I'll sponsor those low-income children in for the back to school free haircuts and hairstyles. So we're doing a lot of things, and I want to do more. I just feel like it's my purpose to really empower the community, empower children and their families, and because I think that everybody can be successful. They just need to be embraced and then with different support systems. So that's what I'm all about.
So you look at putting all these put together now. You are having a couple of fundraisers. The Bowl for Charity fundraiser, that's coming up on June 8th. That'll be from 3 to 6. Tell us how that's going to work.
That's going to be fun. I don't know if you guys bowl out there, but I'm calling all professional bowlers and even those new bowlers that just want to come out for a night of evening of fun and fellowship. Expo 300 has agreed to sponsor Realize Our Dreams, and we're going to host our first fundraiser there on Saturday, June 8th. And from 3 to 6, you'll pay $15 for 3 games of bowling. And the proceeds will go back to Realizing Our Dreams, so that we can further our programs and services. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm all about bringing people together for a fun cause. And I think that a lot of people enjoy bowling, and it's summertime, and there's those professional bowling leagues that may be looking for something extra to do. So if you're a bowler or you would like to learn how to bowl, please come out Saturday, June 8th at Expo 300 from 3 to 6. There is, we have increased.
You're going to have pizza?
No, well, there may be pizza. That may be peace. I hope Michelle Obama is a listener.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds
of,
good.
A lot of fun. Let's call it Bowling for a Cause.
Bowling for a Cause. And then coming up July 13th at the United Way, you are going to have a mother-son prom for low-income families. Tell us about that one.
Yes. That's a vision I've had for quite some time. I just want to do something fun and exciting and something different for the low-income families in the area. And so I've agreed to do a mother-son prom for those families. And because a lot of times when you dress up and when you feel good about yourself, you just feel so much better. It raises your self-esteem. Sure. And so that's what I want to do. And so the mother-son prom, it's open to any and everybody.
Okay.
Moms and sons all across the land. It's open to them. Their tickets are $25, but we're calling it a night at the Oscars.
Night at
the Oscars. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm still putting the finishing touches on the project, but this is something I want to do on an annual basis, and I'm trying to reach out to different barbers and salons that will do moms and sons hair. And mom maybe get like a makeover or whatever, because a lot of times when families are struggling, they negate those basic things,
Sure.
And I think that this will make the mom feel special,
make
her feel good.
It's a good idea.
So I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. Yep, that's Saturday, July 13th, at the Masano Gym in United Way Building on Phoenix Street.
That's great.
First time ever, so if you're interested in that, feel free to contact me.
And how should they contact you?
They can actually email me at marcus.scurry@gmail.com, or they can email me at realizingourdreams@gmail.com, and they can also contact me on Facebook, Marcus Scurry. And we also have a Realizing Our Dreams, Inc. page on Facebook. Always trying to generate traffic to that page. They can also call me. My number is area code 404-694-2570.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood again. Marcus's telephone number, 404-694-2570. Don't forget to check him out on Facebook, whether it's Realizing Our Dreams or just Marcus Scurry. You'll find a lot of information right there. Marcus, I'm so glad you came out here today. You had a lot of good information, and we had a good time talking about the problems, and maybe you can help solve some of them.
Thank you so much, and I've enjoyed, being your guest. I was nervous at first, but you make it so simple and so easy. So thank you so much. And thank you to all the listeners out there. Thank you, Greenwood, for all the support and assistance with Realizing Our Dreams. And I just feel like we together, we could come together and create some worthy solutions for Greenwood and the world. So thank you so much, Anne. It's been a pleasure.
All right. That sounds great. Hey, we'll be talking about some of these events coming up. Remember June 8th, Expo 300, 3-6. You can go out there and bowl. That's a fundraiser for Realizing Our Dreams. And coming up in July 13th, Mother-Son Prom for low-income families at the United Way Building. Tickets are $25 for that. Hey, Marcus, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you so much, Ann. It's been a pleasure.
All right. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Be back at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And don't forget, tomorrow afternoon, 4:05, Herman Cain will be my very special guest right here on WCRS. That's right. That's going to do it for me. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.